We're doing the Rambam in the Shurashim, and we were in the middle of reading the Ramban, and the truth is we're in the middle of a point. 2 weeks have passed. You have the place?
I don't know. Is it okay?
Okay, so...
Is that the same?
It's not the same. We're... the Ramban is attacking the Rambam, and the we're up to page give me 1 second. In the Frankel edition, it's page Yutes. In the regular edition, it's Hey Yom and Beis, Hey B. And the Ramban said the following, said like this, said, really, we've reached a point where we have to question the Rambam, in that the Rambam had described that many things are included in the prohibition of Lo Sasur, do not stray from what the rabbis told you. And he said that that includes the reading of Megillah and Hanukkah, and the things that the rabbis did as takanot, as institutions, like those mitzvot, or the things the rabbis did to distance us from averot, like chicken with milk. He said all of these are included in that prohibition. And he also wrote in this direction in the Sefer Mitzvot, in Mitzvah Kufayin Dalid. He said, we have to listen to the High Court, do whatever they tell us, and it doesn't matter where they derive it from, whether they tell us it's biblical or they think that's the way we should behave as a rabbinic institution, we have to obey the High Court. And then in the beginning, he said, with regard to counting the Mitzvot, he said, then we have Mitzvot that came after the Torah was given, that the prophets or the sages instituted, and they've spread throughout the Jewish people, like washing our hands, like reading Megillah, like lighting Hanukkah candles. And all these mitzvot we're obligated to keep, because the Torah says, do not stray from what the High Court, what the rabbis tell you. And he also elaborates on this in the book of Shoftim, and he says, be it things that they gave us on tradition, be it things that are from the oral law, be it things that they derived, or things that they did in protection of the Torah, their institutions, their gzerot, their customs, any one of these things, we have a biblical command to listen to them, and if one goes against what they said, he's in transgression of the prohibition, because the Torah says, listen to what they say, do not transgress what they say. So this is all what the Rambam said. And the Ramban questioned, he said, going with that, we know there's a concept of a zakin mamre, the rebellious elder. And we say the rebellious elder has to disagree with the High Court on a matter that is biblical. And according to what Maimonides had said, then a person should become a zakin mamre for simply going against them on a rabbinic institution. He should get the death penalty for that. Going with Maimonides' train of thought, then should get the death penalty for going against the rabbinic institution. So the Rambam tried to preclude that, and he said, when does a zakin mamre, when can he be a rebellious elder? If he disagrees with them on something that they did to protect from a biblical prohibition. For example, the rabbi said, stop eating chametz a little bit early, so that you won't come to eating chametz at the time that's biblically prohibited. So on that, the basis for that is biblical. If he'll argue with them on that, then he's in transgression, he's becoming a rebellious elder. Now, what the Rambam did, says the Ramban, is build this huge wall around the words of the rabbis, but technically this is a wall that's going to be easily broken down. Because according to him, let's say someone carries something on Shabbos, and he carries something that's mukta within private domain, or he asks a non-Jew to do work on his behalf. That's not biblically prohibited, that's rabbinically prohibited. or he runs on Shabbos. The prophet said, walk and have a pleasantful gait on Shabbos. He doesn't do that. He runs. According to the Rambam, he's just transgressed two biblical commandments. He hasn't listened to them and he's gone against what they said. He should get 40 lashes. The Rambam said, no, technically he doesn't get the lashes. Why not? Because this is something that if he would overtly do, he would get the death penalty for. So because he has the potential for the death penalty, he doesn't get the lashes. So he has the potential for the death penalty over a rabbinic mitzvah. According to this, it's a machloket in the Talmud, when someone transgresses something which has the potential for the death penalty, whether he gets lashes or not. So according to one opinion, there should be lashes for rabbinic institutions. We'll pick up over here, page 10 in the regular editions, Umash Amar Od.
This running thing, that actually applies today? That's halacha today? You can't run on Shabbos?
Unless you're late for
No. I remember a specific instance where I ran from Shul back to my friend's house, got the bottle of vodka.
We can't go into too many details now. Let's focus on the Ramban. If we go to too many tangents, we won't get anything
does
done.
Does the running hold today? Can't run on Shabbos?
You have to know when it applies. If you enjoy running, you could run. If you're running to do mitzvah, you could run. So according to what the Rambam said, then on any rabbinic thing, we'd have to be very stringent. There's no difference between something that's Rabbanan and Deoraita. And you know what? The most stringent thing in the Torah turns out to be a rabbinic thing. Because you can get the death penalty, you can get lashes.
Can we say that with Allah we are lenient and with Torah we are machmir?
And the rabbis tell us throughout the Talmud that the rule is that any time you have a rabbinic institution, anytime you have something rabbinic, and there's a question how you should go, we're lenient. We're more lenient with rabbinics than we are with biblical. We're more stringent when we're in doubt. Whenever you have something that maybe what's mixed inside is a rabbinic prohibition, we're lenient. If it's biblical, we're stringent.
In spite of that, you can't have death penalty.
Why?
In spite of being a rabbinic prohibition, you can be killed by the time.
So that's what he's saying. How could it be according to the Rambam? If every rabbinic institution is really a biblical, two biblical ones as well, and could get the death penalty, so then that seems to be in contradiction with the concepts of the Talmud, where we're always more lenient with rabbinic institutions. Okay, and we'll pick up here with the Heminu Haktanim.
We're over here.
The Heminu Haktanim. So we're up to page Chaf in the Frankel edition. The Heminu Haktanim, and when it comes to rabbinic institutions, the rabbis were willing to believe minors. Sheinam goyim la'ayid, even though technically we wouldn't accept testimony from them, kmo shamru sham, like the Talmud says in Psachim, b'tikat chametz rabbanan ve'minu rabbanan b'drabbanan. The whole institution of checking for chametz on the eve of Pesach is a rabbinic institution. So the rabbis say, it's our institution, we believe the minors. And rabbinic institutions will take a minor, a katan could also do b'dikas chametz. V'chen b'inyan tchumin, and so too the rabbis instituted, we shouldn't walk beyond 2,000 footsteps out of the city on Shabbat. So when it comes to realizing where do the 2,000 footsteps end, ne'man katan lomar ad kan tchum Shabbat. The Talmud says, we believe a minor when he tells us, the rabbis measure, till here you're allowed to walk on Shabbat. The Talmud says, how so? This is going with the opinion that says that all of Tchumin is rabbinic, and the rabbis believed him in rabbinic institutions. The point was pointing up, I didn't want you to get it. Kedita be'urvinu b'ktubot, as we find in the Talmud in Ervin and Ksubis, umem od be'mitzvot ekelu, and we find other areas in mitzvot that the rabbis were lenient. Amrua, the rabbi said, Safek karak rachma, safek lo karak, no chozov kwek rachma. If a person is in doubt, this is an opinion in the Talmud, we don't rule like this opinion. If a person doesn't remember, did I read Shema or not? I showed up late to Ma'ariv. I said Shmon Esrei, did I make up the Shema or not? I don't know. Showed up late to Shachris. Did I say Shema? Didn't I say? I don't remember. I was half asleep. It was the morning after Shavuos. I don't remember. So Chazal said, you don't have to reread Shema. We don't pass him that way. They said, you don't have to reread Shema. The Talmud quotes an opinion that says, but what happens if you're in doubt whether you said the blessing after Shema, in which we recount the Exodus from Egypt? Then you have to go back and say it again if you're not sure if you said it. Why, explains the Talmud, my taima, Shema is rabbinic. Emet v'yatziv is biblical. We rule the opposite. We rule that Shema is biblical. But at any rate, you see clearly in the Talmud, you're not sure whether you fulfilled the rabbinic institution. You don't know. Did I do it? Didn't I do it? Rabbi say, okay, you don't have to. You don't know if you did something biblical, you do have to. Wait a second, according to the Rambam, everything rabbinic is two biblical commandments. Not only that, even though sometimes you have a situation where you seem to be contradicting yourself. So in halacha, we don't let you contradict yourself. But in rabbinic things, sometimes we let you contradict yourself. How so? The Talmud brings the following case. If two people come and come to him and tell him, you both come to me, you tell me, do us a favor, say Varev Aleinu. Go out and set up an Erev for us. Now, the Erev must be there the second that Shabbos enters. What second is that? We don't know exactly. We have Benash Moshos, we have twilight, where we're uncertain when exactly nightfall sets in. When does Shabbos begin? So I'm going out, and I'm both of your messenger. I have to go set up an Erev for both of you. I have to set up some bread, and the idea is that we say an Erev defines where you've camped. So you'll have 2,000 footsteps from the bread, from where I set up the bread for you. Because usually people stick around where their food is. That's where they sleep, right? So the rabbi said, even if you're not sleeping there, if you want to have another 2,000 footsteps to walk in a certain direction, set up the food out there, and then it's considered as though you camped there and you have 2,000 footsteps from the food onward. So you both appoint me to set up an Erev for you. You both want to come to the bris I'm doing on Shabbos. So you tell me, set up the Erev out there on the way. So I go there Friday afternoon. I'm a good friend. I sit there. I miss Kabbal Shabbos. I'm standing out there with your Erev for you. But I'm a little late. So I get to put down one of yours. And then 10 minutes later, I remember I have to put down the other one. So let's say for him, I put his Erev down when it was still day. We saw the sun. Okay? Now, the Erev sat there, and it has to sit there into the first minute of nightfall. We don't know when the first minute of nightfall is. I have to set up the second Erev before the first minute of nightfall. We don't know if I made it or not, because I set up your Erev 10 minutes after sunset. And just as I was putting down your Erev, along came a coyote. I couldn't do anything. He ate up your Erev. So your Erev was put down when his Erev disappeared. Now the question is, did nightfall set in before I put down his Erev and before yours was eaten, and then yours is kosher but his isn't? Or did nightfall settle in after I put down his, but then you don't have a kosher Erev because yours was eaten before nightfall settled in? So now, we come to the rabbi, and the rabbi can tell you have a kosher Erev, or you. But it's impossible that both of you have a kosher Erev. That would be a contradiction. Because either nightfall hits before I put down yours, and then you don't, or after, and then he doesn't. Right? Contradiction. Tells the rabbis, yeah, but it's rabbinic. We could do contradiction. What? How does that work? How does that work with the Rambam, says the Ramban? So that's the Talmud. Says the Talmud, you both have an Erev, you're both okay. That defies logic, right? So the Talmud says, wait a second, either way, one of you has and one of you doesn't have an Erev. How could we tell you both you have an Erev? If we say that when yours was put down, it was still daytime, so the second one should have an Erev. The first one shouldn't have an Erev. If we say that twilight time was night time already, So I understand. He's already, the first one was an Erev. So then Kamalikni, the first one should have acquired an Erev. Batalolikni, but the second one shouldn't have an Erev. Answers the Talmud. Then Ashmashot Steiko. No, twilight. It's a Safek. We don't know what it is. Maybe it's day. Maybe it's night. The Sveikat Rabbanan Nekula. When you have a question mark about a rabbinic institution, you're lenient. You're lenient. Klomar zilacha lekula v'zilacha lekula, meaning the rabbi said you could go in both directions to be lenient, even though they're contradictory. Why? Because it's rabbinic. Rambam, any rabbinic institution is two biblical ones. How do you do that? Ve'od, and the Ramban goes on. You remember we said this is the genius of the Ramban. He's going to give examples from all the Talmud, asking on the Ramban. He says, we find the rabbis very often, when necessary, they will say, don't bother doing the rabbinic institution. How so? The Talmud says, Kmo shamu, like the Talmud said, Hedbik pat betanu, let's say someone came on Shabbos, he wants a hot pita. So he has his oven is still on from Friday. He takes a piece of his wife's dough, and he glues it to the wall of the oven. Now, if he waits 2 minutes, it will bake and become a pita. His wife walks in and says, Shmerel, it's Shabbos! His wife walks in and says, what's wrong with you? It's Shabbos! I forget! Say the rabbis, even though rabbinically it's prohibited from peeling off the dough, ridiyat apat is something which requires great skill, and the rabbis prohibited doing actions that seem like you're a skilled worker on Shabbos. It's rabbinically prohibited. Said the rabbis, okay, take it off. Don't transgress biblically. If you leave it stuck, you'll end up having transgressed the biblical prohibition. So the rabbi said, okay, peel it off so you don't transgress biblically. So this is an example of where the rabbi said, we are okay, we uproot a rabbinic institution for the sake of the fulfillment of a biblical one. And in other instance where the rabbis forewent the rabbinic institution for the sake of a biblical one, the rabbi said, "Vitul kli mechanod rabbanan, v'tzar balechem doraita." If you have a situation where you have to do a rabbinic prohibition in order to avoid tzar balechayim, so tzar balechayim causing affliction to any animal is a biblical prohibition, unnecessary pain. The rabbi said there will be instances where we'll forgo our rabbinic institution so that you could let the animal get out of pain. So you see, the rabbi said our rabbinic institution gets pushed away for the sake of a biblical one. Why? According to the Rambam, why is a rabbinic institution any weaker?
Because it has din of Torah, right?
According to the Rambam seems to say that rabbinic institutions, or every rabbinic institution, has two biblical commandments backing it. Even though the Talmud over there is discussing an instance where you did nothing, the animal walked into the water, fell into the water, and can't get out without you doing something that's rabbinically prohibited. You didn't do anything, say the rabbis. They said, well, it's only a rabbinic thing. So the rabbi said, okay, to get the animal out of pain, we'll let you do that. We don't say that about every rabbinic institution, but the rabbi said it over there, and the rabbi said, you go and you do what it takes. We're not going into the details of bitul kli mechano over there, we're out of time. But the rabbi said, go and do what it takes, even though it involves actively transgressing a rabbinic institution on Shabbat to get the animal out of pain. So we're not learning halacha here. You can't learn halacha from this. We're not going into details. When do we say this? When don't we say this? But we see there is one instance where the rabbis say it. How come, according to the Rambam?
And if it breaks Torah law?
No.
Like to save an animal that's falling a pit.
So we're not going into the details. We're not going into the details, but we're saying the general concept we find in the Talmud in Shabbos is that even in an instance, the Talmud gives us a case where you did nothing, the animal on its own fell into the water, it's suffering and can't get out, and the rabbi said about a specific rabbinic institution, transgress it directly, you with your own hands transgress our institution to help that animal get out of the water. Why? Because the animal's suffering should concern you biblically. We forego our institution for the animal's suffering. How so? Now, let's pause. Now, let's take a step back and think from the Rambam's perspective. There's a very simple answer according to the Rambam. The Rambam could simply say, well, the rabbis run the show, right? When they say it's prohibited, it's prohibited. When they say it's permitted, it's permitted. I stand by my guns and I say every rabbinic institution is two biblical ones. But they decide when it's an institution. So they decide, they tell you, go help the animal. There's no rabbinical prohibition. So there ain't no two biblical ones backing it, because they told you. What's called in the Talmud, Heim Amru, the Heim Amru. They said and they said, if they're the ones who told you in the first place not to do this, and here they say, do it to help the animal, so then there's no rabbinic prohibition. So that's why. Now the Ramban is going to come back and say, wait a second, then you have to take every case of these cases, you have to say those rabbis were powerful enough or had a tradition to say that the original institution did not include this case where it contradicts. And also, that doesn't include every question the Ramban asked. It'll only cover most of the questions the Ramban asked. Let's keep that in mind. Bezrat Hashem, next time, 2 weeks from now, when we regroup with the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvot.